the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, you've probably heard it before, but when Paul wrote that, he was in the middle of a prison cell. Amen. In bondage. Didn't look like there was too much to rejoice about. But he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amen. How many of you know that praise and worship really is a ticket out of things? Amen. I heard a missionary years ago. He was really on his last legs, just kind of down and out. He was thinking about quitting the ministry. And so he walked into a missionary outpost there in China. This was, I believe, in the 40s. And walked into this missionary outpost where, you know, you could get supplies and all of those things. And when he walked in, he saw a sign there written on the wall that said, try Thanksgiving. And when he read that, it went off in his heart that all he'd been doing for the last couple of weeks was just complaining. And he said, even though he realized it didn't come out of his mouth all that much, in his heart he knew it was sad. And his heart, it knew his heart was taking stock of all that was wrong in life versus all that was right. And so he said, well, you know what, I'll give it a shot. I will try Thanksgiving and change my focus. And sure enough, he did that. He tried Thanksgiving and things changed. Things started to turn around. And so I want to encourage you this morning, try Thanksgiving.
Amen.
Amen. You're trying everything else. Try Thanksgiving. Give thanks for what's in your life. You know, David said, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I love that. He didn't say, I feel like rejoicing. He didn't say, everything in my life is right, so I'm going to rejoice. He said, no, this is the day the Lord has made, so I will rejoice. It's almost a statement of fact of something I'll make myself do versus something I feel like doing. And so, friends, no matter where you're at in life, give thanks unto God. Give thanks in all things. And friends, sure enough, you'll see things will start to turn and work in your direction. Amen? Amen. Open up your Bibles with me this morning to the book of Luke. We're going to look at Luke chapter 17. And on the screens, if you can go to Matthew 17 and verse 20. Matthew 17 and verse 20 on the screens. We're going to Luke chapter 17 and verse 5. So excited to have you here with us this morning. We're in January of 2011. Now, I don't know about you, but this is going to be my best year yet. Got my expectors turned on and I'm exercising faith. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. Insist on walking in faith. I was reading Brother Copeland's newsletter before I came out this morning. At the end of it, he signed off saying, insist on walking in love and walking in faith. And I'm telling you what, you've got to make it a priority to do in your life. Just make it a demand upon yourself to express love, walk in love, and to express faith and live by. And as I was getting ready for this message, just continuing along that line and in this vein, I came across a story. It's a true story many years ago, about a man who was sitting in a church a lot like this one. And this man, to be honest with you, was just really down and out. I mean, just completely, not just knocked down, but feeling like he was knocked out. Everything in life was a mess. And I don't know if you've ever been there before, but for this man, everything was that way. His relationships were out of whack. His business, he had always been very successful, but his business had taken a turn for the worse. And he was short financially. And really, this was causing frustration in every other area of his life. He was frustrated in his relationships, frustrated with his wife and frustrated with his family. But really, he was frustrated with himself, wondering what it was that he had done in life to deserve this. And he had, like we talked about with that missionary in the natural, seemingly tried everything. And everything that got him to the place where he was just looked like it wasn't working anymore. And so he went to church this one particular morning, and he made it a habit to go to church. He didn't go to the same one. He'd just go whichever one was most convenient that day. And on this day, he stumbled into a church that taught the message of faith. And the preacher told the congregation to open up to what I told you to open up to this morning, the book of Luke. And so let's see what they read that morning. Let's read it ourselves. Luke chapter 17 and verse 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted into the sea, and it would obey you. Then he told the congregation, the preacher that day, to turn over to Matthew chapter 17. Well, we've got technology today, so I'll just tell you, let's check out our screens. Matthew 17 and verse 20, we really see what was written in Luke 17 expounded upon. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to the yonder place, and it shall remove, watch this next phrase, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Look at that. Nothing. Everyone say nothing.
Nothing.
Shall be impossible unto me. And this preacher went on to expound on these scriptures. That with the power of faith, this life of faith that Jesus not only came to give us, but demonstrated before us throughout Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This life of faith literally makes impossibilities possible. It diminishes anything that could hinder anybody. It eliminates any and all defeat to where nothing in life can constrain you or bind you. That literally with this power of faith, if you can see it, if you can envision it, you can possess it in life. Now think about that. No matter where you are in your education, no matter what you have as a resource, no matter what type of home you live in, whether you rent a small apartment or live in a big home, or whether you live out of your car or live underneath the bridge, if you have faith, nothing is impossible to you. That man who lives under a bridge, if he possesses faith, possesses everything in this world becomes possible. It can become his possession with the power of faith. Literally, faith takes the limits off your life. And if we could just learn to tap into this and to live in this life and to learn how to cooperate with God with this message of faith, we would see our lives take on really a supernatural level. And so my goal is to get us to get back to the basics of faith, to get over into a place where you and I not only know how to live by faith, but we do it almost subconsciously. Where we live truly a lifestyle of faith and achieve success after success, victory after victory. That what it says about the righteous in the Bible comes true in our life. That our path grows brighter and brighter and brighter. Well, friend, that's God's will for you. That's God's will for me. But in order for us to get there, we've got to learn how to live by faith. Well, the preacher on that particular day went on like that. And this man sitting there got a hold of it. And he got a hold especially of the fact that Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. See, the disciples came to Jesus, and I guess seeing all the wonderful things he was doing in life, and said, we need more of this faith that he has. And Jesus turned to him and said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. Now, to give you an idea of how big a mustard seed is, I Googled it. And apparently a mustard seed is 1/16 of an inch in diameter. So if you took an inch and broke it up into 16 different pieces, that's how wide a mustard seed would be. So what was Jesus saying unto them that day? He looked at them and said, if you had faith just that much, if you had just only that much faith and you used it, and you put it into motion, if you would begin to say some things, nothing would be impossible to you. In essence, he was saying, it's not me needing to give you more faith. It's you needing to use and put in motion the faith that you have, even if the faith that you have is as small as a mustard seed. And so that helped that man. He knew he hadn't lived right in life. He was a Christian, he was born again, but he wasn't really living for the Lord per se. And so it encouraged his faith, knowing that no matter how much faith I have, even if I just have it as small as a mustard seed, If I use it, I can see life change. If I use it, I can see things turn around. And so he left that service and went back home with his wife. And he said, you know, it's really easy to get stirred up about things in church. He said, I would like it if I could actually have a mustard seed. And he asked his wife, do you have any? And she said, sure enough, I have some over in that cabinet in that old pickle jar. And so he went to the cabinet she pointed to. He opened it up and there was an old pickle jar there filled with mustard seeds. And so he took one out and put it in his pocket, walked around with it. When he put it in his pocket in the morning, he would remember to use his faith. No matter how small his faith was, if he'll just use it, then he believed life could turn around. So he did this for a number of days, and sure enough, life started getting better. It wasn't so much things on the outside started to change, but he was developing confidence in himself. There was a joy there that wasn't there before. A peace there that everything was going to be okay that wasn't there before. There was a confidence in himself, really, about life that simply wasn't there before. And so he kept doing it. He'd reach in his pocket to take it out at night and he'd believe God and use his faith, start speaking positive things over his life using the little faith that he had. Well, he ran into an issue one day because he realized that he kept losing his mustard seed. It was so small that he'd have to keep going back to that pickle jar to put a new mustard seed in his pocket. And so he was trying to think of a way to make mustard seeds, this thing that he was trying to carry around, easier for him to locate, where he wouldn't lose it as easy. And he thought, you know, if I could put it in a plastic cylinder or put it in a plastic ball of some sort and could put it in there, then I could attach a chain to it and put it on my watch chain. They had pocket watches, you know, things like that were popular back in his time. And so basically we could say today, put it on our keychain. You know, attach a chain to a plastic ball, put a mustard seed in that ball, and just walk around with it so it'd be easier to keep up with. And so he asked around, and no one said that they knew how to do it. And so finally, he just did the research for himself and found out how to put a little mustard seed inside a plastic ball. He attached a chain to it, attached it to his watch chain, which would be like our keychain today. And it just made it that much easier for him to carry around. Well, this helped him even more because it was bigger in his pocket and those things. So every time he'd just feel it rub up against his leg or bump him, it reminded him, use the faith that you have. Well, he carried it around so much and life was getting better. He was coming in contact with more people. His business was picking up. And so in the process of meeting more people, everyone took notice of when he took out his watch. They also saw that little ball hanging down. And so they wondered, what in the world is that? And he told them the story of how his life started changing because of the message he heard on mustard seed faith. Just using the faith that you have, no matter how small it may be. And so as he told them the story, they all wanted one. Well, he said, okay, I'll make you one. And so he took down their name and started making it. Well, the more people saw them have it, and the more people saw him have it, the more people wanted some. So he kept making them for people and family and friends and business associates. And finally, he thought, you know what? Maybe people would like to buy this, and I think it would help them. So he found a magazine called Guidepost Magazine many years ago. And in Guidepost, he ran a little ad in Guidepost Magazine simply talking about mustard seed faith, and if they'd like to have something that reminded them to use their faith, they could buy this piece of jewelry from him. Basically, he had turned it into even a bracelet for ladies. You know, he got costume jewelry and made up real nice bracelets, and in it put a little ball in there that he would color now, because he colored the plastic, and put a little mustard seed in there so the ladies could wear. And so he had some for men and he had some for ladies. He ran the ad, and I kid you not, according to history, he sold tens of thousands of these things, completely pulled them out of debt, completely turned his financial situation around, all by using mustard seed faith. Now, friends, this is what I want to get at. It wasn't that all of a sudden one day he had a great idea and was an advertising genius and came up with this idea to market a little mustard seed, put it in a plastic ball. No, his faith set all that up. I said this last week, it's amazing how lucky you are when you use faith. It's amazing what the world would call luck. It comes into your life in dramatic ways when faith is in demonstration. It puts you in the right place at the right time around the right people. It draws in ideas to you. In short, faith, when used, taps into God's help. There's a scripture that I love over in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, talking about King Uzziah. I make mention of it all the time. And it starts out in 2 Chronicles 26, talking about how Uzziah took over from his father at age 16. And then it says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. And then it lists all the ways God made him prosper. Put him in the right place at the right time. Victory over enemies. He was able to build cities. He got the desires of his heart. He loved husbandry and loved the mountains, so he had a place out in the plains and a place up in the mountains, and he had mighty men who came up alongside him to help him do what God had called him to do. And in essence, God came into his life, and it closes out the good portion of his life. It closes out talking about it by saying he was marvelously helped. What if you could live a life marvelously helped? Where God just flat out helped you. Helped you in business. How many of you think it'd be good to have God as your business partner? Helped you walk in love. Helped you close the sale. Helped you teach your children. Helped you with your spouse. Helped you on the job. Helped you get ready for a job interview. Put in your mouth the words to say that the boss man needed to hear, and because of that you got the job. Helped you in your investments. You just had a leading to invest in something. I was telling my wife the other day, about a year and a half ago, I had a witness to invest in Apple shares. Now Steve Jobs has stepped down, all of those things. And at the peak of the recession, Apple shares had dipped to about $89 a share. And I just had a witness get in that. Well, what's the Lord trying to do? He's trying to help me. God wants to help you. He wants to get in your life and help you. And so I had a witness to do it. Well, I'll make a long story short. I didn't do it. I had some money set aside. I didn't do it because, you know, your mind talks you out of things. But I had a witness. And today, those shares are about $340 a share. Well, what is God trying to do? He's trying to help us. Friends, God wants to help you. I mean, He wants to help you in every phase of life. I've been around this message of faith ever since I was a child, grew up in a word church. And when my father passed away, I got a Bible from Brother Hagin where he had signed it. And in it he wrote Mark 11:23, and then Pastor Hagin signed it, Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. And listed a couple other scriptures there and verse 33. And just basically they put in there all of these scriptures on faith, just wrote them out there. And as I was looking at these scriptures, I came across the scripture that we read in Matthew 17 and verse 20. That if I had faith the size of a mustard seed and I used it, that nothing would be impossible to me. And I must have read that hundreds of times. Literally just hundreds of times. I'd skimmed over it. I'd often look over there for inspiration. And one day it clicked. It dawned in my heart. What if God did help me? What if He did? What if I live life in such a way where God helped me? Well, then it would take all the impossibilities off of life. It would make any and everything possible. I mean, with God, nothing's impossible. It says when destruction and famine comes, He sits in the heavens and laughs. He's not moved by anything. He's bigger than any situation. He's bigger than any test or trial. What if God helped me? I thought about it. I wonder if it's possible to get God's help in growing a church. I wonder if it's possible to get God's help in managing and running it. I wonder if it's possible to preach well, even though I didn't finish Bible school, to get God's help in teaching me how to do it. Yes. What would a life with God's help look like? And friends, I kid you not, I started because of that using my faith on a more consistent basis. Now I'm at the place where I use it even more than I did then. And I was walking our new church building the other day and looking at all the things that are going on there and the walls and the paint and all these different things that are going on, and millions and millions and millions of dollars have been spent and invested, and all of the work, I mean, employing over 300 people just on this project alone. And you're seeing all of these things, and that scripture dawned on me of how impossible it once seemed to me to be having this, to be possessing this, to have it in my life. Friends, in the natural, with my own natural ability, it would be impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And friends, that's the secret of my life. I'm with God. And if God be for me, I can do anything. There's nothing in this world I cannot do. There's no limit that anybody or anything could place on my life. I'm with God. And if God is for us, friends, what in the world can stop you? What can be against you? If God is helping you close the deal, what could stop the deal? If God was helping you get the promotion, what could stop the promotion? If God was helping you get clients, it'd be impossible not to get them. To live a life marvelously helped. I heard a lady, story of a lady. She was struggling financially, couldn't find a job. You know, the employment rate in the country then was much worse than it even is today. And she couldn't find a job, and the only thing that she could get a hold of was basically an all-commission job. You know, basically they said, we'll give you the product to sell. If you move and sell the product, then you can get paid. But we're not going to pay you any salary because we can't afford to pay you. But if you sell this item, and it was a vacuum cleaner, if you sell this item, go door-to-door and sell it, then you get a cut off the sales. Was the only way she could make money. The problem was she never had any education. I mean, she struggled even in the basic measures of school, so she dropped out at a young age and just would help people clean their house. Well, naturally, when the economy hit rock bottom, no one was hiring out people to clean their house anymore. They were cleaning for themselves. That was the first thing that she cut, so she didn't have any way to make money. And so she accepted this job but had no confidence in it. She had never had any type of sales experience. The people who were giving her the vacuums to sell didn't run any type of sales program or training measure. So she had no clue what she was doing. And so she'd go from house to house trying to sell vacuums, and occasionally she would get asked in, but she never closed a sale. Now things went from bad to worse because now she's running completely out of money. She's got a family she's trying to put food on the table for, and she has no way of doing it. So one day she walked into this one particular lady's house, and she had knocked on the door a couple of weeks early and had the opportunity to schedule an appointment to come show her the vacuum cleaners. And when she walked in, she was so defeated because the houses before her had all turned her down. So she sat down at this lady's coffee table, and she's supposed to be doing a vacuum demonstration showing how nice this vacuum is. But when she sat down at this lady's table, she couldn't help it. She broke. Tears started running down her cheeks, and she started expressing to this lady the story that I expressed to you today, how just frustrated she was, and she was running completely out of money and all of these things. While she's sitting there, the lady asked her, have you ever thought about tapping into a higher power? Use that phrase. Have you ever thought about tapping into a higher power? Well, she thought, well, what in the world are you talking about? She kind of perked up. And she said, I'm talking about living a life of faith in God. She opened up her Bible, this lady did, and pointed to her two scriptures. One in Romans chapter 8, I already quoted, if God be for you, who can be against you? Then she opened up Mark chapter 9 that said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. She showed her those scriptures, and think about it. She asked that question. She said, what if God was for you? She said, well, you don't have to wonder, he is. Now imagine God helping you sell vacuums. Do you think that would help you close the deal? And she said, well, I never thought about God being my business partner. But she said, I guess it would help if God helped me sell vacuum cleaners. And she said, well, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So she took two little note cards, this lady did, and wrote down those scriptures, wrote them out, chapter and verse, wrote out the whole scripture, and she gave them to the lady, and the lady put it in her pocket. And she walked around with those note cards, steadily pulling them out before every job opportunity. When she'd walk in to sell the vacuum, she'd pull it out. If God be for me, who can be against me? And then she'd pray a silent prayer. Father, I believe. I believe you're going to help me sell vacuum cleaners. She walked into these homes, and sure enough, over the process of 3 months, her sales rate came up to 85%. On some weeks, she had 16 weeks in a row where she never did not close a sale. In the middle of a recession, why would people buy an expensive vacuum cleaner? Well, when God's your salesman, he can be pretty convincing. Think about it, friend. Why wouldn't you draw upon a higher power? Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you, when you're depressed and sad, draw upon a higher source of peace than yours? Why wouldn't you, when you're frustrated, despondent, and discouraged, draw upon a higher life than yours? Friend, God in heaven, the Almighty, the Omnipotent, the Maker of heaven and earth, the All-Powerful One, is sitting in heaven saying, all of my resources, all of my strength, all of my influence, I want to use on your behalf if you'll just take time and ask. You have not because you ask not. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray, I would hear from heaven and heal their land. What's he saying? I'm waiting for you to ask me to be good. And when you ask me, I'm going to help you in every arena of life. Friends, I want to ask you to ask God to help you. I told Wednesday night, one of my main confessions now is, God, you're helping me. You're going to help me preach this message. You're going to help me lay hands on the sick, and I'm going to watch them recover. Father, I thank you. You're helping me build a building without having to beg for money. Thank you, Lord, you're helping me pay it off without having to beg for money. Thank you, Lord, you're helping me build phase two. Thank you, Lord, I have favor with all the architects, businessmen, everything that I need to have favor with. God, you're helping me. Have favor with it. Friends, imagine if you got in your car and said, Father, help me have favor today. Thank you, Lord, your favor surrounding me like a shield. Imagine you're frustrated as all get out with that child because he's just not comprehending this math lesson. And you say, Father, help me teach this to my child. Do you think God knows how? Yes, friends. Father, he knows how to help us. So ask him to help you. This past Christmas, I'll close with this story. This past Christmas, I was geared up for it. I mean, geared up for it. I had saved up, and it was going to be a great Christmas for everyone in my house. And so on this particular night, Christmas, actually the day of Christmas Eve, I took my mother and Marcus and Hope and Ryan, and we all went out to the building project. And we went out there to look at it, and you know, my mom's in tears and all of these things. And so it was a great time. And then we went out to eat. And when we went out to, after we went out to eat, we noticed that night we were going to meet up, that some of us weren't feeling too well. And we didn't know whether or not we were going to be able to go. We had planned to go over to my sister's house for Christmas Eve. Anyway, we got a call that their stomachs were upset, but we said, oh, we'll go anyway, and they said, come on. And so we went over there, didn't want to, you know, not enjoy Christmas. And so that Christmas Eve, I noticed on the way over there that my stomach was kind of upset. And, you know, I got there, and so we're making plates and doing all of this. And so I grabbed Ava Reese, and, you know, I'm going to hold her and feed her. She's sitting in my lap. So I feed her a little bit, and she looks at me, and she says, Daddy, my tummy hurts. I go, it's okay, baby. You know, the food's not that bad. You can. I'm just kidding. Anyway, so she took a bite. And you could see her face just well up. And all of a sudden, I mean, she just let it loose on me. I mean, let it loose all over the place. And anyway, so I'm sitting there, and you know, I don't know how you respond to those kinds of things, but I had always made fun of my wife because that had never happened to me before. And every time it happened with the kids, it always happened to her. So here, because I don't like that kind of stuff, I have grace for it. God helps me. Let that not happen to me. But anyway, so it's happening, and obviously with my tummy upset, you know, it doesn't help me out any. And so we go get cleaned up, and I'm still feeling kind of woozy and things like that. And so I tell them, I think it's best if we go, you know, we better get her home and all of these things. Because she was there at that lunch with us. So we're driving back home, and she lets it loose in the car again. Well, this time, because the smell is so big with my tummy upset, I can't handle it more, so it happens to me. So this is all on Christmas Eve. I mean, it's terrible. I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, it's bad. So finally, around 12 o'clock that night, I told my wife, we'll let Avery sleep with you. And because, you know, I didn't do that for that reason. I wasn't feeling well, and so I didn't want to be anyway. So finally, I'm sitting on my sleeping on the couch, and I can't sleep because I'm in pain. I mean, I'm in physical pain. This has moved beyond for me not just feeling well. I am in severe pain. And finally, I just made a decision. I'll go jump in the shower. So I snuck in my bedroom and jumped in. And I'm sitting there in all of this pain. And it dawned on me that this whole time, the last, I don't know, 6 hours or so, not once have I asked God for His help. Now, I don't know if you've ever done that before, but how true is it that we can go through things, whether it's big things like not feeling well or having some type of flu or something like that, or whether it's little things like frustration on the job or upset because something didn't happen right or someone is irritating you or things didn't work out the way you thought they would or had bills that came in unexpectedly or something broke in the house and you had to pay extra to have it fixed or whatever it may be. And we go on with it, trying to fix it in our own strength. And then once we kind of hit rock bottom, turn to the Lord. Well, this happened to me. And I sat there and I said, God, I am so sorry. First of all, I repent. Because you are to be my rock and my fortress, not Pepto-Bismol. Now, there's nothing wrong with believing, with taking medicine and all of that. I'm all for it. But friends, we need to use every resource available, including God. And He wants to be the one who's called on first. And so I sat there and I just started meditating on God's Word and all of His healing promises. And I turned to Him and said, God, I trust You. That's it. I trust You. And I reminded him of a story of a man named Mr. Town who owned a refrigeration shop. This is my last story. Not a refrigerator. He actually manufactured refrigerators. And basically this man was dealing with a toe issue. And he, I don't know the severity of it, but anyway, it was getting to where he couldn't walk on it. He went to see doctors and they couldn't help him. He was a Christian and so they tried everything that they could to help him walk, but just couldn't get around to walking. And one day he was, you know, hobbled over into work one day, and he's sitting there looking at his refrigerators, and it dawned on him that if any of the people he sold his refrigerators to brought the refrigerator back because it had a defect, that being a good customer service agent, he would fix his product. He made the product, and if the product has a defect, because he services his products, he's going to make sure he fixes anything that's wrong with it. And it dawned on him then, he's a product of God. That he's been made in God's image and God's likeness. And God is the one who gave him his body and toes and all of those things. And so he just brought his body back to God and said, God, I trust You. I trust that You're a better customer servant agent than I am. Just as I take care of my products, I'm trusting You to take care of Your products. So I'm simply returning my body, Your product, back to You and saying, fix my toe. And sure enough, he said right then and there, he felt something happen and change and twist in his foot. And he stepped up and realized he was completely whole and healed. he turned to the Lord. And so I was sitting there and I said, God, I know you did not create my body to operate this way. In fact, one of my daily confessions is, thank you, Lord, every organ, every bone, every tissue, every artery, every cell functions in the 100% perfection. You designed it and created it to function in. I say that all the time. And so I said, Lord, you made this body, and I know you did not make this body to do this. And so I'm bringing this body back to you and say, fix what you made. And I kid you not, friend, I came out of that place and walked over back to the sofa, laid down, fell asleep. See, before I couldn't fall asleep, fell asleep, woke up the next morning completely fine. Here's what I'm getting at. This is what I want to get over to you. There is supernatural help available. There's a higher power who can help you in every arena of life. Why not use it? Why not call upon it? Why not believe in it? And so, friends, make it a daily confession. Father, you're helping me. Well, helping me with what? Everything. Whatever you need help with, say, Lord, you're helping me. You're going to help me in this affair of life. And friends, as you do that simple prayer, as you do that, you'll see God come in your life and supernaturally change things. Don't worry about, do I have enough faith? Just use the faith that you have. Even if it's as small as a mustard seed, when it's used, nothing is impossible to him that believeth. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You've been a wonderful audience this morning. I want to make sure you got everything that you needed. So before you go, I just want to ask you a couple of questions. The first question I want to ask you is this. Do you know you're born again? I know many of you come here each and every Sunday, and so you hear me go through this. But friends, it's so, so very important. We don't know who's here or who's a visitor or who's in need. So I want to ask everyone, get in faith with me here. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus, what I mean by that is you probably know about him. I'm sure you've heard of him. In the society we live in, there's churches everywhere. There's Christian radio and Christian TV and all of those things. So I'm sure you've heard of him. You may know about him. But do you know him? Do you know God as your Father? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And do you know if time was to end right now, that you'd go to heaven and not hell? Friends, I can say yes for all of those things. I'm so thankful I can. I know without a doubt God's my Father. I know without a doubt that Jesus is my Savior. I know I'm going to heaven and not hell. I'm not afraid of it. I'm not worried about it. I know my salvation is sure. If you're here today and you say, I can't say that. I want to say that, Pastor. I want to say that, Preacher. But I just can't say that. I want to know. I want to say yes, but I don't know for sure that I can. If that's you, lift up your hand. All over this place. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. God is for you. He loves you. He's not ready to condemn you. He's ready to love you and accept you as his own. Just receive him into your heart. Anyone here need to be born again? Let me give you a second invitation this morning. It's wonderful that you all know Jesus. Thank you. I see that hand. God bless you. It's wonderful that we're in a place where we have that confidence and are sure. So you're here and you're born again. That's my next question. You know you're going to heaven. But you know you need to make some things right here on earth. You know you need to make some changes, some adjustments. I don't know what all changes you need to make, but your heart does. If you're here and your heart's just leading you to make some changes, really to come back to the Lord, I guess the phrase would be to rededicate your life. You know God, you know you're going to heaven, But you need to come back to Him. You need to walk with Him again. Fellowship with Him. If that's you, lift up your hand. All over this place. Thank you. I see that hand. See that hand. God bless you. Anybody else? With heads bowed and eyes closed, whether you raised your hand or should have raised your hand, I want everyone in here to say this prayer with me. And when you say it, just believe it with all of your heart. Repeat after me and say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you sent Jesus to die for me. I believe not only did he die, but on the third day, he rose again from the grave. Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Savior. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. I make a decision today to walk away from my past, to walk away from habits, and to walk towards you. Thank you, Lord, that as I draw near to you, you draw near to me. I'm forgiven and I'm clean, and I say boldly, my best days start right now. In Jesus' name."